We need to settle the fact that we're healed. Turn to the 27th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, please. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 27. Now, this is a people that had been in Egypt. And they knew who they were, but they had lost sight of how to live, because they had to eat anything they get their hands on in order to live. So there had to be Levitical laws set up and just make it a law. Don't eat certain things. Don't do that. And we'll get over into that in a moment. So here in the 27th chapter of Deuteronomy, verse 9, Moses and the priests and the Levites spoke unto all Israel, saying, "Take heed and hearken, O Israel. This day you're become the people of the Lord your God." Today. In other words, it's going to be show and tell. Now, there's a lot of people involved in this. There's a couple of million people out there. Now, they can make a lot of noise. They can become very impressive to one another. Moses charged the people the same day, saying, "These shall stand upon Mount Gerizim to bless the people when you are come over Jordan, Simeon, Levi, Judah, that's Jesus' tribe, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin, that's the Apostle Paul's tribe. And these shall stand on Mount Ebal to curse Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali." So they split six and six on two mountains. And then the Levites shall speak and say unto all the men of Israel with a loud voice, "Cursed be the man that makes any graven molten image." So, cursed be he that is fallen and all that. This is what was going on. Now I want to show you pictures here. Look at this. There's the mountains. There's the Blessing Mountain. That's Shechem in Shechem Valley right there. And there's Mount Ebal. Look at the difference between the two mountains. Mount Ebal is mostly alkali. The whole face of the thing won't grow anything. So about a million people over here on this mountain and about a million over here on this mountain, and the Levites are shouting back and forth across there to demonstrate the difference between the curse and the blessing. So now by understanding that and seeing this picture that was demonstrated to them, there's certain things that you do that'll bring the devil's curse on you. And of course, the King James uses the word God will curse you. But let me show you something now. So you come across here to the 28th, and it continues to divide the blessing and the curse. "It shall come to pass, if you will hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and do all of his commandments, which I command thee this day, the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you if you listen." So can you see that? It's not God specifically blessing any one person. It was available for every person. But he said, if you just do what you're supposed to do, it'll just come on you. So now let's go to the 14th verse. Thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, but it shall come to pass if you'll not hearken, 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 okay, unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and do his commandments and statutes which I command you this day, all the curses will come on you and overtake you. That is not hard to understand. But then it begins to go into individual things. Now look at the 22nd verse. You'll be smitten with consumption, with fever, with inflammation, extreme burning, the sword, the blasting, mildew, and pursue you until you perish. So, now let's go over, hold your place there. Let's go over to Galatians chapter 3. And then we get the answer. And I learned from Brother Hagin, and I've learned now over 50-year period of time that it's true. If you ask most Christian, just walk up to them and say, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Oh, yes. Are you baptized in the Holy Ghost? Yes, amen. What are you redeemed from? Sin, I guess. Well, yes, indirectly. But now here it is in the third chapter of the book of Galatians, which is a faith book. In the 8th verse, the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith preached before the gospel unto Abraham, so the word preached, right? The word's preaching to us right now. Before and so forth and so on. So then, they which are of faith are blessed with Abraham. So we go to the blessing, that's us. Now look at the 13th verse. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, so that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit, or what the Spirit promised, through faith. So, John was about 4, Kelly was about 6. And I called him in. And in that little house, we had a great, large, green ottoman. I called it a footstool. I kicked it one night and broke my toe. It is that big. Oh, it hurt. It really did hurt. But then I was healed the next day. I mean, it popped like a pistol. And all swelled up. I just kept confessing my healing. And when I woke up the next morning and the devil said, your toe is broken. Look at it, it's black and blue. So I wouldn't look at it. And I said, devil, some of my very best friends, their toes are black all the time. So don't be talking to me about my toes being black and blue. That's just what came out. So anyway, you don't sit there and shake your head at me. I don't blame you. Amen. But I wouldn't look at it. I put my socks on with my eyes shut. And said, and when it happened, I didn't say, oh, I broke my toe. You would if it's not in you. I said, oh, Jesus, glory be to God, I'm healed. Hallelujah. I'm healed. So I put my socks on without looking at my feet. I'm not going to be moved by what I see or what I feel. Amen. Anyway, I'll just tell you the truth. So I called the family in, gathered around that big stool. I said, we're going to take our flu shot this morning. John's eyes got about that big. And I said, come on here. I said, John, get over here. And we're going to get on our knees. And Kelly and Gloria, here we go. So I said, it says here in the curse that there's fever and consumption, all of that. is that all of those are symptoms of the flu. But we've been redeemed from the curse, so we don't have the flu. Here's the flu under the curse, but we've been redeemed from the flu. Here's the flu under the curse. We've been redeemed from the flu. Here's the flu under the curse. We've been redeemed. And then I started having them to repeat it back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Back. You ought to do the same thing and never have it again. I mean, don't ever have it again. Thank you, Jesus. And so we did that. And they didn't have it anymore until, you know, then after they got upgrown. They never were, Kelly or John never were sick. Now, whatever, you know, we'd have the things that had to happen, you know, the smallpox thing and we'd go to school. But as long as they were under our roof, they were never sick. Man, Kelly came home from high school one day. She said, "Daddy, I've had the symptoms of the flu all day long." Well, now this came out of my spirit, but we've used it since. I said, "Kelly, you are not the sick trying to get healed. You are the healed, and the devil's trying to take your health away from you." She said, "I'll be right back." She went into her room, and she just stayed in there till it was time for supper, and she came out, no symptoms. But it started right there. Now, since we're over there in Deuteronomy, let's go. Now, this goes on 27, 28, 29, and 30. So let's get the bottom line in 30, 19. "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you." Now, here was the deal, see, right here. "Now, I've set it before you. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, you choose life." You choose life, "that both you and your seed may live, that you may love the Lord thy God, and thou mayest obey his voice and may cleave unto him, for he is your life and the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore unto thy fathers to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to give them." That was the bottom line of the whole thing. He got them out there where they could see it. And he showed them, "I've put before you life and death, blessing and cursing. You choose." You know what I get from that? He'd already chosen. He chose them. He picked them. You know why God picked him? Picked them? We know why they are called the chosen people? The scripture said he chose Abraham because he would teach his children. That was his requirement. He would teach his children. Glory to God. So we need to teach our children. And it's never too late. They were, "Lord, oh, Brother Copeland, you don't know my children." Well, Jesus does. Just start loving them anyway. "Well, yes, sir, I will." I was on a meeting one time, and I had John on my heart, and I was praying for him, and he said, and in my spirit, he said, "John thinks that you think that he's a bad boy." I said, "Why?" He said, "Because you magnify his sin." Well, I got home, and And John worked for the ministry back then. He's a ditch digger and whatever it is. And I said, John, when's the last time I bought you a tank of gas? Well, he said, it's been a while. I said, come on, let's get in your truck. So we got in there. I was driving down the highway headed toward the service station. I said, John, the Lord spoke to me while I was gone and said that you think that I think you're a bad boy. He teared up. He said, well, Daddy, I've done enough to make you think I'm a bad boy. I said, let me tell you something, boy. I need to apologize to you. I have been magnifying your sin, and I'll never do it again. Amen. I said, from this day forward, we are brothers in the Lord. Not just dad and son. We're really, really good friends. And then I had a beautiful Bowie-sized knife. And Sam Hawkins is a good friend, and he makes these things. And I said, Sam, put John's initial in the silver cap, JC, right there on the cap. Put it in a nice case. So I did what the Lord told me to do. I called him in. I said, I need you to meet me in your mother's office. Okay. So he did. And I said, John, this is a token of the covenant between the two of us. I said, when you were young, you couldn't take care of yourself. And so your mother and your dad had to take care of you. And now this stage of our lives together, we are brothers in Christ Jesus. Amen. I said, you're a man. I'll never magnify your sin again. And I said, if the Lord tells me to mention something to you about something, I will, but I'll never magnify your sin. Never. Not one more time. And I said, now there's coming a day when the third stage of this relationship comes to pass. And boy, you gonna take care of me. And he grinned real big. He took that knife out and looked at that thing. He said, I'll get back to you. So he waited a few days, and he wanted me to meet him outside, down close to the hangar. So I did. He said, Daddy, I want to clean the slate. And he started confessing to me. Well, some of it I already knew about, but it was over. And he and I are very best of friends. Amen. Amen. So consider that. And it works between mother and daughter too. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So now we have the bottom line of this. Let's continue. Let's go now to Proverbs, and we'll go to chapter 3. My son, forget not my law or teaching. Let your heart keep my commandments. Now, we could stop right there and spend a lot of time. Do it. You know the old thing, you tell your son, you'd be about to spank him, this hurts me more than it does you. He don't believe that. But that's the case. Keep my commandments with your heart, for length of days and years of a life worth living, tranquility inward and outward, and continuing through old age until death, these shall they add to you. Let not mercy and kindness shutting out all hatred and selfishness and truth, shutting out all deliberate hypocrisy and falsehood, forsake you. Bind them about your neck, write them upon the tablet of your heart. So shall you find favor, good understanding, and high esteem in the sight or judgment of God and man. Lean on, trust in, be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. I'm telling you, there's life in that. I mean, keep His commandments because they work. My dad said to me one time, he said, Kenneth, if I found out there was no God and there wasn't any Jesus, I'd live this way anyway because it works. But he said, then because it works, I know there is a God and there's a Jesus and heaven is real. It works. The commandments work.
My personal battle has been with diabetes for about 10 years. And as an ex-medical professional, that sort of thing can be very frightening because you know too much about something. So sometimes medical professionals are the hardest ones to get healed because we scare ourselves with what we know. And so I just said, Lord, I'm just going to come and enter your rest. I don't have to do another thing. You have taken care of everything for me. Healing is a fact. I have received it. I'm taking it. And I'm coming here and I'm just going to rest and let you do what you do. I was on antibiotics because of the toe, and the toe was blue and angry. And I went to the doctor on Thursday morning and came here Thursday evening. So this morning when Brother Copeland was saying that healing was my property.
Now there's somebody here this morning that you needed to hear that, and you're healed right now if you'll accept it. Praise God, because it belongs to you. It is your property. Jesus bore yours.
Somehow that just struck me really hard and differently. And I literally had to kind of bend over and cough a few times, almost like I was getting delivered to something. I felt like something released and let go. And I reached up to feel the lymph nodes because the power was all over me and they were gone.
I've had diabetes for about 10 years. And it makes me mad because I know that healing is, as you said, my property. And when you said that, something hit me.
Praise God, Anne.
And I just felt it all over.
For some reason, I didn't think to look at my toe until I was just now sitting over there. And I thought, well, it's a little, you know, you're like, oh, I hope it looks better, you know. And so I pulled my sock off, and it's down to the normal size. All the blue is gone. About half of the redness is already gone. I'm real excited about that. Jesus is Lord. Healing is real.
What will 2023 be like? It'll be a year of judgment. God will judge things good, and it'll be a year of judgment upon bad things and people that don't pay attention to my word and to my people. They will come to a place where that is just an act of judgment because of the seeds that they have sown. And many, many, many of them will come to pass in 2023. And there are those that will say, glory to God, I've been corrected and now my finances are straightened out. People will begin to know and understand that victory is at hand. You will know me because I am the truth, I am the life, and I am the way, and my Father is truth. And the two of us together in your life, truth will become a way of life for you, and it will break the bondages the devil has put in there, and all of this will come to pass before 2023 is halfway through.
Join us for the Sacramento Victory Campaign with Kenneth Copeland and George Pearsons, March 23rd through March 25th. Register at kcm.org/Sacramento today.
Hello, I'm Spencer Nordyke. The Bible tells us that God is love and that love never fails. It's an unconditional love that has no fear in it. We can love God because He first loved us. Many people are familiar with John 3:16, which says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." we can know and believe that love that God has for us. It's as simple as saying yes to Jesus, the Son of His love, and asking Him to come into your heart and to be your Lord and Savior. Pray this prayer after me. Heavenly Father, I ask Jesus into my heart. Fill me with your love. Fill me with salvation. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I give you my spirit, my soul, and my body. Come and live in me. Lead me and direct me every step of the way, and I will follow you. Thank you, Lord, that I am born again in Jesus' name. Today, your spirit man is born again, and you have God's love dwelling in you now. From this day forward, you are a child of God with an inheritance. Kenneth Copeland Ministries has some free resources to give you. It's called The Salvation Package. There's a book called He Did It All for You by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, and two brochures to help you start reading your Bible. Read through this book and learn who you are in Christ and who He is in you. Once those truths take root in you, your faith will soar because Jesus has paid the full price for you to have every promise in the Bible. This is your year to live a prosperous life in your spirit, soul, and body, also in your finances, your relationships, and in every area of your life. When you read your Bible, you will begin to see the God who loves you. Take the time to get to know Him, spend time with Him in His Word, in worship, and in prayer. To receive your free copy of the Salvation Package, just go to kcm.org and we'll send it to you. As a born-again child of God, you can grow spiritually at whatever rate you desire because there's no limit to how much your faith can develop and grow. As you believe God's Word, you act on it by faith, and you'll see the results of the blessing in your life. We'll see you again tomorrow, and this is Spencer Nordyke reminding you that God loves you, we love you, and Jesus is Lord.
If you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland want to welcome you to the family of God. They have a gift for you called the Salvation Package to help you understand more about your new life in Christ. Email us at partners@kcm.org.uk and receive your free Salvation Package.
The Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast study notes will help you dive deeper into these powerful word-based teachings. Get all 5 days of notes at one time. Use them during the week for your personal study time. Download them free at kcm.org.uk/notes. Create a special family devotional time to follow along with the notes as you watch the broadcast. Study the scriptures with your children and begin instilling God's Word now. Use these notes to build your faith library and build up a heritage of faith.